As you take your seats, if you have your Bibles, open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For those of you who did not bring your Bible, the scripture usually appears on both screens to my right and to my left. But please bring the Word of God with you when you come to worship Him on Sunday morning. Feels a little odd being back in the pulpit this morning. So Lisa asked me last night, did I reckon I would remember how to preach? Well, we're going to find out in just a few moments. It is so good to be back at Hardin Baptist Church. A couple of weeks ago, I woke up on a Friday morning and I had a thought hit me. The RBBI had just ended. We had just taught the second part of Hebrews to about 60 pastors / church leaders. We had finished the week before the mission trip to Flesh All. And suddenly it dawned on me, I was not 30 anymore. Any of you men ever have that thought? It dawned on me that I was 52 years old. And I was sitting on the boat, going to be there all day long, waiting to catch my flight home, when I remembered something that happened to me 12 years earlier. 12 years earlier, I had actually visited Dr. Mike because my wife wanted me to have one of those full body exams for some reason. And after Dr. Mike had examined me, I was 40 years of age, he said to me, he said, Brother Ricky, you are the healthiest 40-year-old man I have ever examined. He said, man, you are in shape. Now, I got to be honest, I grinned just a little bit. Thought that was pretty cool. It's now 12 years later. I'm sitting on a boat after the RBBI, after the mission trip to Flesh All, and suddenly this hit me. I'm not 40 anymore. I'm 52, and I'm not in shape. I wonder what Dr. Mike would say about me now. And sitting there on the bank of the Amazon River on the Amor bee trees, I surfed the internet. I know you can't imagine that. I had better reception on the Amazon River than I do in Dexter. Wow. Never got disconnected once. And while I was surfing, I ran across a website because I kind of had this thought. There is no excuse to not be in shape at 52. How in 12 years did I let myself get to where I now found myself at? So I just typed in fit. And the first website that popped up, now I'm not advertising this website at all, but it was a website called CrossFit. I don't know if you've ever heard of CrossFit. There's over 6,000 gyms in the United States that use CrossFit as a technique to get people in shape. And what caught my attention was, on one of the pages of the website, there was this fuel gauge, kind of a half moon circle, and it had three words on it. To the left, it said sickness. In the very middle, it said wellness. And then to the far right, it said fitness. And I looked at that half moon circle and said, well, I'm not sick. When you've been where I've been with my parents this past summer, you can thank God that you're not sick. I can honestly say, as 52 years of age, I am well. But you know, my heart didn't rejoice there. My mind just couldn't celebrate being in the middle of the gauge. Because to the far right was this word, fitness. Fitness. And it dawned on me at 52 years of age, I am not fit. Now, CrossFit's goal of fitness is for you to be physically prepared for whatever life throws at you. Man, I'd like to be fit. So I'm going to try to be fit again. I can never be fit as a 30-year-old. I can never be fit as a 40-year-old again. But in January, when I get 53, I can be fit again. Amen? Now, here's where you come in. See, I'm your pastor. I can't have thoughts about me without thinking about you. I don't know if you know how this works, but everywhere I am, you're there with me. I just can't go anywhere without you being there. I love you. So when I'm sitting on the boat thinking about me at 52 years of age not being fit, I had to think about you. And I had this thought. If we were to examine ourselves as a church, could we say we are fit? Can we say we are in shape? Could we say as the body of Christ that we are prepared physically, mentally, spiritually for whatever God has planned for us? What do you think? I mean, I don't think we're sick as a church, do you? No. I think there's no doubt we're well, we're healthy. But here's what I'm wondering. Are we settling for just being well when we could be fit? So for the next few Sundays, here's what we're going to do. As I prepare to be physically fit, we're going to prepare to be church fit. Would you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at a beautiful description of the church that Paul wrote to a church in Corinth that was divided. Now, if you remember, if you've been with us at Hardin for very long, you know that we have a goal to grow larger and smaller at the same time. Everybody agree? We want to grow larger through worship, but we want to grow smaller through our adult Bible fellowships and our small group ministry. A couple of Sundays ago when I got back from Brazil, Corey was preaching in Philippians chapter 3, and I was standing out in the foyer, and I saw a young girl, looked college age, and she was sitting at a table all by herself, and there was hundreds of people all around her, and she was all by herself sitting at a table, and I just went over and introduced myself to her as she introduced herself to me, and we hadn't spoken very many words when she just burst out into tears. I'm talking about just flooding her. But she had this grin on her face. And she kept saying, "Brother Ricky, I don't know why I'm crying. I don't know why I'm crying." I said, "Honey, it's okay." And then she said these words. She said, "I'm from a real small country church." And she says, "I'm overwhelmed this morning. I'm blown away this morning." She said, "I had no idea this place was this big." And you know what I found myself saying to her? I found myself saying this. Once you get to know us, you're going to find out that we're just like you, except we're just a big old country church. Everybody agree with that statement? Now, I don't know how Hardin's ever got by with saying we're a country church when we're actually in the city of Hardin. Amen. Population 463. But you know what we mean by that phrase? Just an old country church, right? It means we're small. It means we're connected. It means there's a sense of belonging. There's a sense of caring. There's a sense of encouraging when we come together as the body of Christ. Amen. Therefore, Hardin has always desired that while we're growing larger, to continue to grow smaller at the same time. And here's what I want to suggest. If we don't do both at the same time, we can never achieve the fitness that God desires of us. So I want you to imagine this morning, as Hardin continues to grow larger, I want you to see it, to continue to grow smaller at the same time. That's why over the next few weeks, you're going to hear us talk a lot about church fit. And when we talk about church fit, one of the aspects that we're going to be talking about is, are you connected? Are you connected? And could you name the other families you're connected to? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I laid my Bible somewhere. There it is. Look at verse 12. Would you stand as we honor God in the reading of His Word? "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." Whoa. Is that stunning? Paul's just been using an example of the human body. And then he says, just as a body is one body but has many members, so it is with Christ. Christ is one, but He has many members, according to that. "For in one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body," listen to this, "giving great honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." Father, thank You for this passage. In Your Son's name we ask for Your anointing now. Amen. You may be seated. Again, in the foyer, in the hallway, you're going to hear the staff over the next few weeks ask you to get connected. Not just to the large group of people you worship with at 8 o'clock, but to a smaller group of believers. It can be during Sunday morning in what we call our adult Bible fellowship. But you know, as we grow larger and desire to grow smaller, we also realize that for some of us who worship the Lord and then serve the Lord, it's just not feasible on Sunday morning. So we're starting some small groups during the week that just might work really good for you so that you can get connected to this body. We're going to be using three words a lot over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about belonging, we're going to talk about caring, and we're going to talk about encouraging. Why are we talking about these words? Because we want our church to be fit. We want us to be prepared for what God is getting us prepared for. We want to be the best body at Hardin we can possibly be. And this morning we want to look at this beautiful portrait of the church. But remember this, Paul's writing to a church where there's division. And what was causing the division was that each member of the church had received a gift from the Holy Spirit. So Paul had to spend the first part of the 12th chapter reminding them that there's different gifts, there's different ministries, there's different energizing. But it's the same God who gives those gifts, empowers those gifts, and the reason He gives those gifts to the members is for the good of the entire body. And then He begins to describe Christ with a body. A head, eyes, ears, feet, hand. And then He talks about how we all got into the body of Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. How He immersed us, placed us in the body of Christ. And each one of us as an individual body part, we all drink and have drunk from the same source, and that's the Holy Spirit. And then He sets up this scenario. He says, imagine the foot looking at the hand and saying, whoa, I'm not like him. Therefore, I do not belong to the body. And then he asks, if the foot said that, would it make the foot any less part of the body? And of course, the answer is no. And then he says, imagine the ear looking at the eye and saying to the eye, hey, I'm not like you. Therefore, I do not belong to the body. And he asked the question, would that make the ear really not part of the body? And of course, the answer is no. Wow. Now, what's Paul getting at here? There is a problem in the church. And you know what the problem in the church many times is? A sense of, I do not really belong. Wow. Can you imagine this thought? I bet it's went through your mind a couple of times. God, by His Spirit, placing people in the body of Christ, and those people who have been placed in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, feeling like they don't really belong there. Do you know that's what keeps people from getting connected to the body? A belief that they don't belong. Now, can I ask you this question? What would cause people to believe they don't belong? Now, from this passage, if we were to stay biblical, I think it would be this. Too low of a view of yourself. Not understanding how important you are. Would you say this in your mind? If you're a believer and the Holy Spirit has added you to the church of Jesus Christ, in your mind, would you say right now, I belong? Just say that in your mind. I belong. I belong. Now here's what we're going to ask you to do. Next week when you come in the foyer, now some of you are going to be tempted not to come because you've been doing a great job helping us grow larger, but whoa, we want to grow smaller too. I want you to fight through that urge to not come next week. Because you're going to have the thought, oh, I don't belong. And when you start thinking that way, you're looking at yourself with the wrong view. So you got to realize how important you are. Because see, when you come in the foyer, there's going to be signs that say group life. Next Sunday, when you go down that hallway, there's going to be people standing in front of every door. And they're going to be trying to tell you what their little group's about. And they're going to be asking you to join their group possibly. You're going to see some other little groups maybe out on the front of the building. And they're going to be saying to you, hey, we're meeting on Tuesday night. We're meeting on Thursday night. We're meeting on Saturday morning. Would you consider connecting to us? Can I tell you what happens when you walk down that hallway and you look in a room? You're looking for somebody like you. There's just something about us feeling like we belong if the people we're with are like us. Amen? I want to belong somewhere where the people are like me. But here's what happens when you come to church and I praise God this happens. When you walk into this place, one of the first thoughts you're going to have is, whoa, they're not like me. Any of you ever had that thought? Whoa, they're not like me? I go, yes, praise God. But then you're going to have this thought, I'm not like them. And you're going to think you don't belong. Now, when you have that thought, here's what you're doing. You're thinking like a part instead of like a body. And that's what's wrong in many churches. We have a part mentality, not a body mentality. Amen? We know we're the body of Christ, but when we get together with somebody, we want to get together with somebody who's just like us because we're not comfortable with people who are not like us. Am I right? Now, let me tell you what's going on there. What you're battling is being a part. You're a toe. And toes like to hang around with other toes. They like to be a foot. Or you're a finger and you're looking for other fingers. So when you walk down that hallway and you look in a room, if you're a finger, you're looking for more fingers. And when you just see toes and torsos and shoulders, you got a tendency just to keep on walking. Make sense? Now, when you think like that, you're thinking like this. You got a part mentality. And here's what you got to remember. God did not ordain a foot. He did not ordain a hand. He did not ordain an ankle. He did not ordain an eye. Can you imagine us being a big foot? Wow, we'd be on the go a lot. But I bet we'd stub our toe a lot. Amen. And I bet we'd walk on a lot of people. Amen. And I bet we'd hurt a lot of people. Can you imagine us just being a hand and all the things we'd do? But can you imagine the things we'd do that would be wrong because all we were a hand? Can you imagine if we were just a big eye? Oh, we'd see all the needs everybody's got and we'd see life the way it is. But what good would we be? So what Paul's trying to say here is God didn't design a foot or a hand. He designed a body. And in designing a body to be His presence in this community, do you understand this? When Jesus Christ walked upon this planet, He walked in the form of a body. He did everything He did through a body. When He went back to heaven, He didn't change His plan. He still does what He does through a body. And the body is His church. And the church is made up of different parts. And the reason the church isn't fit is because we got too many members in the body thinking they don't belong because they're not like so-and-so. And so-and-so's not like them. And so there's division in the body. Oh, not outwardly, inwardly. Of people feeling like they don't belong. Why do you belong in this body? Because you're not like the rest of us. But because you're not like the rest of us, that says how important you are. Because God's going to take you to help us be who He wants us to be. And without you, we can't be the body He's ordained us to be. So quit getting on to yourself for thinking differently. It's okay for you to think the way you think. Because you've been gifted that way. You've been designed that way. And we need you. You are important to us. Amen. Trust me. You will never really feel like you belong here till you get connected. And then you can name those people you're connected to. Secondly, in this passage, He teaches us not only that we belong, but He teaches us that we must care. We must care. Here's what He says. He takes body parts again and makes them talk. And He says, imagine the eye saying to the hand, I have no need of you. Imagine the head saying to the foot, I have no need of you. Now let's be honest. I don't need you to be me. Do you understand that? I don't need B. Byerman in my life in order for me to be me. Because I can be who God designed me to be by His grace through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't have to have Brian Swain in my life for me to be me. And that's what happens in a lot of churches. He's not like me. He's not like me. But I don't really need him to be me. See, the eye can be the eye without the hand. Agreed? Hand has nothing to do with the eye being able to see. Best I can tell. Head doesn't need the foot doing what it does in order for the head to think. The head can think without the foot. But here's what the Bible's teaching. While I can be me without you, we can't be us without us. That was good. I know Baptist churches don't amen much at all anymore, but how about just a good old-fashioned amen from a Baptist church? Amen? While I can be me without you, we can't be us without all of us. I need you, and you need me. And see, what happens in the church is this. If we're going to be fit, I've got to have a good value of the importance of me, but I've also got to have a good value on the importance of you. Does that make sense? And if not, here's what will happen. We will live as if I don't need anyone. You're part of a community, and we're in a community that doesn't really know community. And how are they ever going to know community unless they see community? That's why you got to help us be the best community we can be. Each body part bringing its part, not used selfishly, but used for the benefit of the whole. So that we can not just belong, but we can care. Care for one another. Can you imagine being in a body where when one part hurt, the whole body hurt? That's what ought to happen. Some of you are this connected. You're so connected to the body, when the other part of the body gets hurt, you get hurt. And you don't really quit suffering till that part quits suffering. Agreed? Boy, that's a joyous feeling to really hurt with someone and care for someone. Have my Tuesday plan to do what I want to do, but my Tuesday suddenly changes because there's a need in the body. And I'm concerned about the body, not me. And then when I hear of the honor that went to, wow. Even though everybody talked about what great hands he has, I know without me, he'd have never got that accomplishment. But I'm not jealous. I'm not envious. Because I know when we're bragging on him, we're bragging on us. I want us to be fit. Will you help us get there? Will you make sure you belong and you believe you belong? And will you make sure you care about those you're connected? And then next week, we're going to learn how to encourage one another. See, that's why we need to be connected. So we can belong, so we can care, and so we can be encouraged. Father, right now, move by your Spirit in our hearts and our minds. And let us really ask the question, are we connected? Father, there's some folks here who've been doing a great job. They've been coming to the large group celebration. They've been coming to worship. Their lives are being changed because they're building their life now around the truth of your word. Father, we want to ask those folks to take it just a little deeper. We want them to get connected, truly be connected. Not just connected to a worship leader, not just connected to a youth pastor or a pastor of a church, but to be connected to another body part and know who that body part is and life this life out called the Christian life in a community that's both large and small at the same. Father, began to convict us because next Sunday morning we're really going to be challenged to get connected. And Father, we're going to give many opportunities. Father, we've actually hired an adult fitness director, Chris Allen. And Father, he's here to sit down with any person who attends Hardin Baptist Church and help them discover their gift, help them discover a ministry and to discover a group that they can be a part of. Father, may we keep him busy, active for the rest of his ministry because of this desire to not just grow larger, but to grow smaller at the same time. In your Son's name we pray.